we are closing out Tomb Raiders, and we are talking about life after death. This is a week after Easter. And for those of you who don't know, Easter is the day that we celebrate Jesus' resurrection, where he died on the cross and 3 days later rose again. And as we talk about life after death, we have to realize that life for Christians just doesn't just stop at salvation. It isn't, okay, now I'm a Christian, I'm saved, I'm born again, and then now you're just living out your days in that way. No, there is more to life that God has set up for us. And as we talk about this life after death, we're going to dig into the gifts and resources that God has given us. So we're going to go right into John chapter 14, verse 15 through 21. And it says, "If you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me because I live. You also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them." So Jesus, being our advocate, he is helping advocate for our righteousness. He is advocating for our salvation. He assures the disciples that another advocate is coming to assist in knowing the truth. Now, for those of us who don't know, what is an advocate? An advocate is someone who speaks on our behalf for access or to gain something. So what is the need for an advocate? Why is it that we need one? In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 through 10, it says, "Saving is all his idea, his being God, and all his work. All we do is trust him enough to let him do it. It's God's gift from start to finish. We don't play the major role. If we did, we'd probably go around bragging that we did the whole thing. No, we neither make nor save ourselves. God does both the making and saving. He creates each of us by Christ Jesus to join him in the work he does, the good work that he has gotten ready for us to do, and work that we had better be doing." So we see that our part to play is of acceptance and understanding that God did the whole thing. We're just a part to play in it. We don't have the major role. And as we go further, I'll talk about specifically what our role is. But we continue and understand that in verse 17, Jesus called the Holy Spirit the Spirit of Truth. In verses 25 through 29, we're staying in John 14, it says, "All this I have spoken while still with you. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. You heard me say, I am going away and I am coming back to you. If you loved me, you would be glad that I am going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. I have told you now before it happens, so that when it happens, you will believe." So we see that Jesus has to leave in order for this new step in our relationship with God to take place, this advocate. In verse 17, like I said, Jesus calls the Holy Spirit the Spirit of Truth. And as we just saw in verse 26, he also says that the Holy Spirit will teach us. So we have the Spirit of Truth, and we have the Spirit of Teaching. In Acts chapter 1, verse 1 through 8, it says, "In my former book, Theophilus, I have wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven. After giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen, after his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command, 'Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father has promised, which you heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit.' Then they gather around him and ask him, 'Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel?'" You got to understand, this line is so important because up until this point, the Jews believed that the Messiah was going to restore the kingdom of Israel. Which is true, that is his plan and his purpose, but in the way that it was supposed to happen, they didn't realize. See, Jesus came and died for us so that we would be given the power to restore his kingdom. Jesus came so that we can be equipped to do the work that has already been prepared, like we previously read. So we see when the disciples are asking Jesus, well, you're saying you're going to leave us, but you got this job to do. As we see, Jesus is going to tell them, no, I came to equip you to do the job. And the advocate that is coming in my place, I need to leave so that he can then enter inside of you so that you can do the work that you already know you have to do. But now you understand that it's going to be through your hands. So he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. So we see that life for Christians after the resurrection of Jesus has much more to offer than just salvation. And for those who choose to live in acceptance of the gifts God has blessed us with, we will receive abundantly more whatever we could ask or think. And as we receive Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we gain access to heaven. And we gain access to God the Father. And we understand that because of the salvation that we receive, we are getting the Holy Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit that teaches us and reminds us, and the Spirit of power, the power to do great works, the power to understand that we have a job to do, and before it was the job of someone else, now Jesus died so that we would have direct relationship with God to do that work ourselves. And it's not through our own might, it's not through our own power, it's not through our own understanding, but remember, through the Spirit of truth that teaches us and reminds us. So, why did God send the Holy Spirit? I kind of alluded to it multiple ways, how the Holy Spirit is a resource for us, but more specifically in Galatians chapter 5, verse 13 through 18, it says, for you have been called to live in freedom, just like Deacon Teresa was sharing. My brothers and sisters, but don't use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature. Instead, use your freedom to serve one another in love. For the whole law can be summed up in this one command. Get this. The whole law is summed up in this one command, but there is still a law that's present. And I'm going to share more about that in a second. Love your neighbor as yourself. Now, those of us who are saved are no longer held accountable to the law, but we still live in a way where we can't live unruly. Does that make sense? We can't just do whatever we want, as Galatians 5 said. We can't live giving into our sinful nature. But if you love God, you're going to hold yourself accountable and you're going to live a certain way that pleases God. So we understand that we are given freedom to live and to live an abundant life, but we're not given freedom to do whatever we want. So we see that if you are always biting and devouring one another, watch out. Beware of destroying one another. So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other. So you are not free to carry out your good intentions. But when you are directed by the Spirit, you are not under obligation to the law of Moses. So we see that we are set free by the Spirit of truth, the Spirit that teaches and reminds us of what Jesus taught, the Spirit of power. But understand this, the Holy Spirit was sent to guide our lives through this newfound freedom that God has given us. So, the Holy Spirit is our spiritual connection, was sent as our spiritual connection with God. And this spiritual connection is essential to the life of righteousness that God intended. And there is so much to gain by being in tune with the Spirit that the world does not know. Now, when the Bible refers to people of this world, it means the people who don't know God, the people who don't recognize Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And the death and resurrection of Jesus was necessary for our restoration, and it was necessary for our reconnection with God. So, how do we tune ourselves to the Holy Spirit? Now, for those of you who don't know, I do play a little bit of guitar. I am self-taught. Google and YouTube is a powerful, powerful tool. Ooh, thank you, G. Thank you. So, how do we tune ourselves to the Holy Spirit? Tuning ourselves to the Holy Spirit is a lot like tuning a guitar. And for those of you who don't know how to tune a guitar, there is apps for that. And I tend to use apps because, like I said, I am self-taught. I play a little bit of guitar. But there are people who, after years and years of practice and study and tuning and listening to music, they can tune a guitar by ear. I'm not that gifted. I got to use the app. So, as we listen to what a guitar is supposed to sound like, you tell me if this is it. It was close, but it was a little bit off, right? And for those of us who have never played the guitar, we know that it sounds off. Now, if we equate this to our lives, we understand that our life is supposed to be a beautiful melody. It's a melody that God created. And when we tune ourselves to the Holy Spirit, we'll start to see just how good it's supposed to sound. But you already know, just listening to it sounds a little, it's close, but it's like really muddy and it just doesn't sound good. So when we get a tuner, we can start to establish what it's supposed to sound like. You can hear the note changing. You can hear the tightening of the string. This is like when we structure our lives and we start to tune ourselves to the Holy Spirit. You heard that little click? That means that it's good. Just for those of you who don't know. So as we start to tighten up those strings, it starts to develop a new sound. As we start to tighten up our lives and not live so loosely, and we start holding ourselves accountable to the Word, we start to gain this beautiful sound, a sound that is pleasing. See, first service, I did all six strings. This service, we're only doing three. Because first service, it took way too long. I already know I'm gonna get a message from my dad. Like, what were you thinking? What were you doing? So we're just going to tune up this last string, and we're going to tighten it up. There you go. You heard the click? So you understood what it sounded like before, but now when we play it, doesn't that sound so much better? And as you begin to play, see how much different it sounds? You may not know the chord that I'm playing, but you understand that it sounds a lot better than it did before. So when we start to tune our lives to what God has for us, our lives become this beautiful melody, and we live the way that we are intended to be. So, what is it that we are tuning ourselves to? Because remember, like I said before, some people can tune by ear. I am not that gifted, and I have to use an app, or you can go buy a tuner from a music store. But what is it that we should be tuning our lives to understand whether or not we are in tune with the Holy Spirit? The Bible. Very simply, the Word, the truth. See, the Holy Spirit uses one language, the Spirit of truth. It talks in truth. The Word, the Bible, is the truth that we should be holding ourselves accountable to. And when we fill ourselves with the Word, we are tuning ourselves to what the Holy Spirit is saying. And our life begins to take a shape that becomes beautiful and pleasant. And it starts to look and sound pleasing to others. And it's not that we are living our lives so that we can please others, but we are a light and we are an example to this world. We are leaders, not followers, above and ever beneath. And when we start to live like that, others get drawn to God. They may get drawn to you initially because they see something different about you, but that is our whole purpose, is to love God and to love people. And we can only get an opportunity to love on people if there's people around us. But if you're not pleasant and your life doesn't look pleasing, it's going to be real hard to speak to people and to reach to people when they don't want to reach out to you. Does that make sense? So we see that the death of Jesus caused a reconstruction. Now, when we talk about this reconstruction, we are talking about our relationship with God and how our relationship was once something that was through a third party, but now we get a direct relationship with Him. I like to think of it, just for this example, as a corporate system. For those of us who work, we have bosses. We work for a company where there's a founder or a CEO, and then we have different roles and positions within the company that establish the system that we operate in. And today we're going to talk about how this reconstruction that Jesus caused by His resurrection gives us the system and the ways that we can live. So when we talk about God, we understand that He is the creator, the founder, the CEO, the COO, the CFO, the boss, the Alpha and Omega. He's the whole reason why we're here. And we understand that before the reconstruction of the corporate system, we lost our ability to communicate with Him. We had to go through this corporate ladder, and once upon a time, we had to go through a priest. So the priest was responsible for the sacrifices, the repentance, biblical teaching. The priest was the only one allowed into the tabernacle where the Ark of the Covenant was kept. So you would have people like you and me going to a priest, and doing sacrifices, however often they needed to, whatever their culture or belief was, they would go and do sacrifices from this man. But this man was elected by God, ordained by God. So it wasn't like every 4 years they held an election and they voted who was going to be the priest. No, this person for life was ordained by God. And it took another priest to establish and say, yes, okay, God has ordained you. And this priest had to live under a microscope. Everything this person did was observed and looked at. And if they fell off the mark, you lost your priesthood. And once upon a time in the old system, in the old covenant, that is the way that we communicated with God, was through a third party. I like to call the priest of that time the public liaison. So for those of you who don't know, if you work for a major corporation, they have people that their sole job is to hear the complaints of the public. Any questions that the public has, the public liaison is sent out, because the boss isn't going to come and talk to every single person that wants to talk to them. They got a job to do. So the priest was like the public liaison for God. And it's not that God didn't want to talk to us. It was that the system that he originally set in place was messed up. So then a new system was put in place. But then when Jesus died and rose again, an even better system was put in place. So we see that under the new corporate system, we have a direct communication with the owner. We have a direct communication to the boss, because Jesus sits at the right hand of the Father and is an advocate for us on our behalf. So we understand that Jesus is HR. Jesus is the public relations. He's the benefits administrator. He's the staffing manager. He is the Messiah. And for those of you who don't know what HR is, if you have ever experienced an HR person, HR is meant to handle the affairs of the employees. HR, if there's a problem or if something happened or you need to communicate some kind of problem, HR is the one you go to. HR is the person that is a neutral party who doesn't seek out the benefits of the company, or at least isn't supposed to, and they are supposed to be neutral in coming to a solution to resolve the problem. So Jesus, being our advocate, is our HR. He's the person that we report to when we're praying and we're saying, Jesus, I thank you for what you did. I thank you that we are healed. Remember, he's the benefits administrator. Through him comes our healing, our source of life. Because of his body being broken, we are made whole. His blood washes us clean. So we understand that before, there was no HR. There was no position that was speaking on our behalf. It was people trying to prove to God that we're righteous. And how many of us know that's a recipe for disaster? That was the system that was put in place because Adam and Eve messed up. And it wasn't that Adam and Eve messed up and they wanted to prove to God. No, this was over years and generations of pride and greed and sin growing within humans, within us, through the flesh. All of a sudden, you get the chosen people telling God, listen, just give us your rules, tell us what you want us to do, and we'll do it. And then we see that they couldn't do it. So God, from the very beginning, had a system in place for us to be made whole, for us to be righteous. And we understand that when Adam and Eve were in the Garden of Eden, God physically walked with them. The Bible says that God was walking in the garden with Adam and telling him what his job was, which was to name the animals and to take care of his garden. And we understand that Adam and Eve have had everything leading up to the point where they messed it all up. But even from the beginning, God always had a plan and a purpose for us to be with him. So even though there was the fall of humanity where we were kicked out of the Garden of Eden, God originally intended for us to live in the garden with no knowledge of sin, no sickness, and no death, for us to live eternally with him. But when Adam and Eve sinned or gained a knowledge of sin, we could no longer live eternally, because then we would be living eternally in death. So when God sends Jesus, our HR, our advocate, to speak on our behalf, he reestablished a way that now we can't get in the way of, because it's not from our own actions or our own works that we gain grace and righteousness, but it's because of Jesus himself dying and raising again. We see that we reap the benefits of this system of now we are welcome back into eternity. And then in John 14, verse 6, it says, Jesus answered, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. We understand that this is our direct communication with God. He sits at the right hand of the Father, so that when God looks at us, he sees Jesus inside of us. And remember, Jesus had to leave earth so that the Holy Spirit, our new advocate, could come in. And we see that the Holy Spirit is our supervisor. He's the foreman, the overseer. He is the truth, the teacher, and the power. So we understand that in the old system, the Holy Spirit was just a presence on earth and in heaven. But in this new corporate system, the Holy Spirit is directly available to us. In fact, he lives on the inside of us, guiding us in this newfound freedom, teaching us in the ways we shall go. If you ever get those moments where you're doing something and you're not sure, that's when you should start praying, Holy Spirit, guide me, teach me, show me in your word where I'm supposed to go. You have to understand that when you work for a company, there are certain procedures and steps that have to take place in order for you to get or resolve a problem. To get an answer to a problem, you have to go through the proper channels. You don't overstep one to get to the other, because how many of you, I don't mean, I hope you not, but have you ever had a situation where you overstepped a supervisor and had to go to a boss? It's not pleasant. It can become very strengthening. And I'm not saying that they're holding us to this procedure where you have to do it this way. No, but that is the way that God designed it. The Holy Spirit inside of us is constantly speaking truth, always within us, trying to guide us in the ways that we shall go. But when we aren't in tune with the Spirit, it becomes a lot harder for us to receive this truth. It's always there. The Spirit is within inside of us trying to grow the fruits of the Spirit, trying to produce fruit in your life. But when we don't allow it to grow, like I was preaching about on Wednesday, and we start to look and do our own ways, you get the flesh fighting the Spirit, and it reaps disaster. Now, I know I just said a whole lot, but in the Bible, we're going to see in Hebrews 10, it's going to describe exactly what I was just referring to. Because I want you guys to know, here at Church of the Bridge, we're not giving you opinions. We are going to give you what thus says the Lord from his word. Because my opinion doesn't matter, and what I think doesn't matter. And we live according to the word, not according to our own desires. So we see in Hebrews 10, verse 1 through 18, it says, "The old system under the law of Moses was only a shadow, a dim preview of the good things to come. Not the good things themselves, the sacrifices under the system were repeated again and again, year after year, but they were never able to provide perfect cleansing for those who came to worship. If they could have provided perfect cleansing, the sacrifices would have stopped, for the worshipers would have been purified once for all time, and their feelings of guilt would have disappeared. But instead, those sacrifices actually remind them of their sins year after year. For it is not possible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. That is why when Christ came into the world, he said to God, 'You did not want animal sacrifices or sin offerings, but you have given me a body to offer. You were not pleased with burnt offerings or other offerings for sin. Then I said, Look, I have come to do your will, O God, as it is written about me in the scriptures.' First Christ said, 'You did not want animal sacrifices or sin offerings or burnt offerings or other offerings for sin. Nor were you pleased with them, though they were required by the law of Moses.' Then he said, 'Look, I have come to do your will.' He cancels the first covenant in order to put the second into effect. For God's will for us to be made holy by the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ is once for all time. Under the old covenant, the priest stands and ministers before the altar day after day, offering the same sacrifices again and again, which can never take away sins. But our high priest offered himself to God as a single sacrifice for sins, good for all time. Then he sat down in the place of honor at God's right hand. There he waits until his enemies are humbled and made a footstool under his feet. For by that one offering, he forever made perfect those who are being made holy. And the Holy Spirit also testifies that this is so. For he says, 'This is the new covenant I will make with my people on that day, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their hearts and I will write them on their minds.' Then he says, 'I will never again remember the sin and lawless deeds. And when sins have been forgiven, there is no need to offer any more sacrifices.'" I know that was a lot to read, but understand this, that old system is done. The constant prayer for forgiveness is unnecessary for those of you who are born again and saved. But repentance is a daily thing. Remember that repentance and forgiveness are two separate things. Forgiveness is something that God has already given us. Repentance is turning away from sin. And we are not perfect. Yes, we are going to drop the ball. We are going to make mistakes. But we are to repent and turn away from sin, never to return. the Bible alludes to how those who sin and constantly go back to it is like a dog that vomits and goes back later to eat it again. We have to understand that through the Holy Spirit, we are given the power. He guides us through freedom. We have the truth and all that we need pertaining to life and godliness. That is the new system that God put in place to restore us, to restore the connection, like when the Wi-Fi goes out. God put the Wi-Fi back on for us. He is trying to communicate with us every second of every day. He is always knocking at the door, but it is up to us to answer it. So we understand that in this new system that we are made perfect. In Hebrews 10, he said it himself. Not only are we made holy, not only are we made righteous, which means right standing with God, we are made perfect in the eyes of God because of Jesus' sacrifice. And in Hebrews 10, verse 19 through 22, it says, "And so, dear brothers and sisters, we can boldly enter heaven's most holy place because of the blood of Jesus. By his death, Jesus opened up a new life-giving way through the curtain into the most holy place." The most holy place being the tabernacle, the Ark of the Covenant. Jesus' death, the veil was torn so that all may enter. We all have a direct line to God now. And since we have a great high priest who rules over God's house, let us go right into the presence of God with sincere hearts, fully trusting him. For our guilty consciences have been sprinkled with Christ's blood to make us clean, and our bodies have been washed with pure water. So we see that through Jesus' sacrifice and in our celebration of Easter and his resurrection, that we are a part of a new system. People try to hold on to what was, which is part of the reason why Jesus was sacrificed to begin with. You had the religious leaders of his day, the Pharisees, who people had to go through them in order to be right standing with God again. And we see Jesus speaking and teaching the people that salvation is available, your forgiveness for your sins is available if you follow me. And the Pharisees, not realizing because they were so greedy and wanted this power, were sacrificing the very thing that they were hoping for. And they didn't realize that because of their actions, they sold out the person that truly loved them. And through their own ignorance and through their own arrogance, they didn't realize that they were missing out on their connection with God. See, the Pharisees thought they had it made because they were the religious leaders. They were telling people what to do and holding other people accountable, but they themselves had no one holding them accountable. They themselves let their pride and arrogance get in the way of the Messiah who was standing right in front of them. In fact, it was standing so much it blinded them, and their hatred grew for a person because Jesus was having the people follow him. But really, it wasn't even to follow him, it was to follow God's will. And they missed it through their own anger and pride and killed the very thing that was sent for them. So we understand that today we live freely for those of us who believe. We live boldly in confidence, equipped for the good work that God has called us to. Now remember, I was talking about this corporate system and how God's the boss, Jesus is HR, and the Holy Spirit is our supervisor. We're the recruiters. And for those of you who have ever dealt with a recruiter, the recruiter's job is to sell you on the fact that who they're recruiting you for is the best thing ever. And if you don't join it, it's like, what are you even doing? Your life is pointless. That's what a recruiter's job is. A recruiter is supposed to sell you on the fact that you should join whatever it is that they're selling at all costs. That is our job as Christians. That is our employment under God's kingdom, is to love God and to love people. Now, I'm not saying as a Christian you're supposed to fake it. No, because you're supposed to love this life that God has given you. But we have to understand that our responsibility to do the work that God has given us is a part of the system. And when we neglect to do our job, we are just reaping the benefits of the system without actually putting in the work behind it, without doing the work that God intended. So we understand today that through Jesus' resurrection, we have been restored. God sees us as perfect, saints, holy, righteous in his eyes because of Jesus who sits at his right hand. And understand this, you don't just have one advocate, you have two, Jesus and the Holy Spirit, advocating for our lives daily. And this world will not see them unless they come to know the truth, which is Jesus loves us and died and rose again. And because of his sacrifice, that is the only way for us to access heaven and to access the Father. and that because of him, the Holy Spirit can enter our hearts and live inside of us so that we can be made perfect and understand what it means to live out that way. So we're going to rise to our feet and we're going to close out. And I just want to give an opportunity today for those of you who have never prayed the salvation prayer, meaning you have never prayed that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior and that you believe and that you want him to live inside of you, that you want him to make you a new creation. If you have never prayed this prayer, for those of you who are online and hearing this for the first time, and you have never prayed the salvation prayer, today is the day. Every day is the day the Lord has made. But today specifically is the time to declare that Jesus is your Lord and Savior. So if you are online and you're hearing this message later on, please email us, hit us up on social media, send us an emoji, comment on this Facebook or YouTube post. Let us know who you are so that we can connect with you and show you what this family is truly about. And for those of you who don't understand, as Christians, we are a family. We are a body that goes beyond just these four walls. We may be few in here, but we are many in, out in the world. And that is why we as people, our lives as Christians isn't just in these four walls. This church isn't a place, it's a people. So I want you guys today, with every eye closed, every head bowed, if you have never prayed the salvation prayer, raise your hand. Today is an opportunity for you to become saved. And for those of you online who are praying the salvation prayer for the first time, please let us know. We would love to connect with you. So, together as a family, we pray, Jesus, I thank you that you died and rose again so that we may be saved. God, I thank you for sending your son to die for me. Lord, I thank you for the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, the Spirit of power, and the Spirit of teaching that lives inside of me. So, Lord, I thank you for this day, and I thank you for this opportunity, Lord, for those in this house who believe and know who you are, and for those who are coming to know you and your sacrifice, Lord, I thank you that their lives are saved and that our life is more than just salvation, Lord, but we have a duty and a responsibility to serve and to honor you, Lord, and that we understand that it's not by our works and it's not by our actions for which we are saved, Lord, but it is by our heart for you. For you live inside of us, Lord, and you know our hearts and you know our intentions, Lord. And I thank you that you are guiding us and teaching us to your truth daily, Lord. And that every day is a day for us to share this gospel, whether through words or through actions. And that your light shines through us so that we can be a light in the darkness and share this knowledge of truth that you have placed inside of us. I thank you for your word, the Bible, that is a lamp to our feet, and the Holy Spirit that holds us accountable to that word and speaks the language of truth into our lives so that we don't have to be lost and that we don't have to be dismayed, but that we may be bold and courageous, Lord, daily through our actions of faith, because you have equipped us to do the work. You have equipped us to restore your kingdom. And Lord, I thank you that you are faithful to us above all else. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Hey everybody, thank you so much for joining us here at Church of the Bridge today. I pray that you had a personal encounter with God, that he spoke to you powerfully, and that he met you at your place of need with this message. I also want to encourage you to go ahead and subscribe to our YouTube page. By doing so, you'll be able to check out past messages, past events that we've done. You'll also be able to see what's happening now and those things that are to come. And lastly, I'd like to invite you to join with us in all that God is doing with your giving. Feel free to do so on our website. Again, thank you again for joining us, and I can't wait to connect with you next week.